The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do you say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, who loves us, creates us, and works with us in all that we do, amen. Good morning. Thank you, Charlotte, for allowing me to be here. I really appreciate it. And I want to share a story from a couple years ago. Audrey Scanlon, who is the Episcopal Bishop in the Diocese of Central Pennsylvania, came to our diocesan convention. And I remember something that she said very well. She said that when she was younger, she used to collect figures of Jesus. Bobbleheads, the little figure of Jesus with the thumbs up, which I think someone has given me at some point in my ministry. Action figures of Jesus laying his hands on people. Magnets with Jesus' face, the nightlight where Jesus lights your way as you go to the restroom in the middle of the night. And of course, dashboard Jesus, who rocks back and forth blessing you whenever you put on the brakes. And she said that her office was filled with all of these things of Jesus, some that she had purchased and others that people had given her. And what I remember her saying was that at some point, all of these figures of Jesus got in the way of her relationship with the real Jesus. That they were distractions, that they were these things made by human hands that were disposable, that were plastic, that could be broken, that had been purchased at a store. None of the things which, in her experience, the real Jesus actually was. And so she wanted to get rid of them, and she did. She said that they no longer represented who Jesus was for her. "Who am I for you?" Jesus asks his disciples today. "Who do you say that I am? Am I a plastic figure that's easily disposed of? Am I an iconic figure that you see everywhere on Christmas cards and on Easter specials and in stained glass? Am I someone that you were taught about 30 or 40 years ago at Sunday school that you don't really know very well today? Am I someone who you've heard people preach about and talk about, but in your own life you don't know really well? Who do you say that I am?" And part of what's interesting about this gospel today is that Jesus also asked the disciples, "Who do those people out there say that I am?" And the disciples say, "Well, some say that you're Elijah, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're one of the prophets." And Jesus doesn't really care. He's not bothered. He doesn't go back to them and say, "Well, how could they confuse me with those guys? I don't look anything like those guys." He is more concerned about what the disciples say. He just brushes off what the other people say. At Christ Church Cathedral, where I serve, we have a couple of gentlemen who come regularly to our English 10 o'clock service who are twins. And they're not identical twins, but they look really, really similar. And it's taken me about 6 years to realize which one is Ken and which one is Keith. So it's been 6 years of saying, "Good morning, are you Ken?" And they'll say, "No, I'm Keith." And I say, "Oh, sorry about that." They don't really mind that much. And so after some point, I realized what they look like, and I could tell them apart one from the other. And then about 3 weeks ago, we opened our service again to in-person worship. And there in the first morning were Keith and Ken with their masks on, and I could not tell them apart at all. And that was okay because they just kind of went with the flow. And the same with Jesus. All those people out there, what they're saying, is he John the Baptist, Elijah? He doesn't really care about that, but he desperately cares what the disciples say. He does not want his disciples to confuse him. There's something about being a disciple of Jesus Christ where it's absolutely essential for us to know he's not just another prophet. He's not a plastic figure that's easily thrown out. He is living, and he is present, and he is guiding us, and he is directing us to the fulfillment of his kingdom of justice and peace. And this is internal knowledge, which is essential for disciples and anyone who wants to follow in his path. And the truth is, it doesn't really matter what anyone else out there says. It doesn't matter what you were taught in Sunday school years ago. It really doesn't matter what your preacher says, as long as you know who Jesus Christ is in your heart. I can vote for a candidate with just a small connection for that person. I can buy a product in a store without feeling anything inside about that thing I'm buying. I can enjoy a movie and watch a movie star or TV star without feeling anything for them, but I cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ and give my life and my livelihood and my time to him without being able to answer in my heart, who am I? And know who he is. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but the way I think we learn generally who Jesus is and the way we renew that connection, and the way we answer the question of who he is pretty much through church. I started to realize this when I became an active Christian in my mid-20s, looking around at these people and saying, they go to church, they practice study, and they study the Bible, and they pray, and they visit people, and all of these things they do so they can learn who Jesus Christ is. Every ministry we have and everything we do helps us to answer the question of who he is for us. Whatever that ministry is, it builds up knowledge of Christ within us. And so as I've thought and I've prayed about this question that Jesus asked today in the scripture, I've come to the conclusion that in COVID-19, it's absolutely essential to renew that question because things, I don't know if you've noticed, but things have changed. We all know that what we're doing works. It's still nice. We still get a message. We still get the same sense of community. But to be honest, it's not the same, is it, being here in church with cameras and empty pews? It's not quite the same being outside. It's not quite the same doing Bible study on Zoom or coffee hour on Zoom. It's not quite the same connecting through this technology and saying hi to people across the space in the parking lot. It's nice and it kind of works, but it's like those twins in the cathedral. It's not exactly the same because we find who Jesus is in these pews, in the places where we've sat for years, where we've heard sermons and we've shared the peace and we've been surrounded by our loved ones. We find who Jesus is. We answer that question, who am I, as we gather together and sing in the midst of our community and we come up and we receive the communion and then we go back to our pews and we kneel and we thank God for this amazing connection we have with him. Who do you say that I am? Used to be answered and found by all of these things at church, and it's taken me, I don't know, 4 months to realize and grieve their loss. It's taken me a while to realize how much I grieve their loss and to think, how do I answer that question now? Because the way I used to answer the question is no longer applicable because COVID has changed everything. In the year 70 AD, and I learned this back in seminary, but it was reinforced as we sat and studied sometimes with our rabbi in residence, Mark Shapiro, that in the year 70 AD, when the Romans destroyed the Second Temple in Palestine, the Jews in Palestine had to make a difficult decision. They had to either move forward or go back. in the year 70 AD, the Jews in this common era, 70 of the common era, the Jews found that this place, which had for them been the place where they would answer the question, who is God? That this place, which had been the place of prayer and sacrifice and community and fellowship and meaning and all of these things we get from church, that this place had been wiped off the map. So they had to decide, do we go back or do we move forward? And there were some in favor of going back and trying to rebuild the temple and go back to the way that it had always been. But then there were others who also said, well, maybe God doesn't want us to go back. Maybe God wants us to go forward. And they said, maybe God isn't just in the space where we used to sit. And maybe God isn't just in the rituals that we used to have. Maybe God isn't just in the things that we used to do, but maybe there's a new way to find God. And a new system developed, which is what Judaism grew into today. Imagine if they had live streaming and YouTube and Facebook Live, that some in the temple would have said, well, let's just set up our cameras here and we'll keep doing what we've been doing until we get to that day when we can rebuild and get back to our pews. But Judaism moved on and they developed their system where they could still say the prayers and they could still light the candles and they could still offer the blessings and they still found piety, but in a way that they could do at home or in the streets or in the middle of the day, in a way that freed them from having to be in one space doing one particular thing. And they realized that they could access God even without the priest, even without the pews in which they had sat. And of course, synagogues developed and rabbis came along and they still had a structure and they still had a network and there was this larger community to which they belonged. But what emerged in this tremendous cultural upheaval was that the people found a way that they could know God even more. They just had to admit, it's time to move on. I personally have had a hard time admitting that it's time to move on. And I have had a hard time giving up asking, when exactly will I return to my pew? These little plastic figures that I hold on to are for me very precious. And they have been important. And they have been my lifeline to the living Jesus Christ. But I know that Jesus is inviting us to more. So in addition to this, in addition to live streaming, in addition to what our churches are offering us, what is the more that Jesus Christ is giving us to do? What is the new calling? And what are the new ways that we will have of knowing who Jesus Christ is for us? I am very curious to know in 10 years what church will look like. I'm very curious to know what we've decided we need to hold on to and what we've just said, I don't really need that. I'm just going to do something that feeds me now. Will we develop amazing traditions which allow us to worship in our home, some of which use Zoom and Facebook Live and YouTube, the things that we will keep doing in generations to come? Will we find at last that we are able to seek and serve Jesus Christ and the people around us, just like we say we want to do in our baptismal covenant? Will we actually do that with the people that we're with, our families, with our friends, with the people we interact with on the streets? Will we find a new Jesus Christ there? Will we find a new Jesus Christ in serving the poor and visiting prisoners and helping people who are in difficult situations? How will we find Christ? Will we pray more? Will we find more space here within us for the living Christ? Jesus is not going away. And this question today, who do you say that I am? It will haunt us. And it will remind us that we cannot live automatically just doing the same thing if we want to say who he is today. Not if we want to be his disciples. Not if the world around us keeps changing, which I'm guessing that it probably will. We can't just hold on to our plastic Jesus, but we have to be able to say who he is now. We say he is alive. We say he is eternal. We say he is present in all that we do and that there's nothing at all that can separate us from his love. We say that he's been with us forever, and we say that there's a lot more Jesus to come. May we find him. Amen.